Pauline and Angela, gesturing with his pistol. Turning to Dorn, he added, "And you?" The two women lifted off their helmets. Dorn deflated the hood of his nanosuit and pulled it back off his head. Valker peered at him. "You're the priest?"
"Yes."
"You're a cyborg," Kirk said, as he pulled his own hood off his face. "A fucking freak."
"Very observant of you," Dorn replied.
As they all wormed out of their spacesuits, Elberta's voice came from the overhead speaker.
"We have a message from the approaching vessel."
"Play it," Valker commanded. They heard, "This is Pleiades. Estimate arrival at your position in 9 minutes. We'll match your velocity vector."
Standing before the bench in front of the lockers, his bubble helmet in his gloved hands, Theo felt a jolt of electricity surge through him.
"That's Dad's voice," he said to himself. He glanced at his mother. She recognized the voice, too. So did Angie. Valker grinned his widest. "Here comes our prophet, boys," he said, "walking right into our laps." "If he's alone on that ship," Kirk cautioned.
"Even if he isn't," said Valker, "I'm going up to the bridge and guide our pigeon to us. You boys stay here by the airlock. When he comes in, you grab him."
He turned to Dorn. "Come on, cyborg. Lead us to the bridge."
Elverda got up from the padded command chair and went to the communications console. She activated the laser comm system, hoping that it would lock onto the optical receiver of the oncoming ship. As soon as the screen's ready light flashed green, Elverda said urgently, "Pleiades, this is Hunter. We have been boarded by scavengers who intend to take our ship and yours. We have 3 people from Syracuse with us. We need help. They're going to kill us all unless we can find a way to stop them."
Victor heard the fear in Elverda's trembling voice, saw the anxiety in her worn face. "How many men do the scavengers have?"
"I don't know. 4 or 5, I think, maybe more."
"Where are they?"
"Down at the main airlock. But I think their leader is coming to the bridge."
Victor thought swiftly. "Do you have an airlock near the bridge?" he asked.
"Yes, immediately adjacent."
"Please open it. I'll board your vessel through it."
"Very well. Please hurry."
"I will." He scanned the control board, saw that the nav and propulsion programs were set to match the velocity vectors of the other ships. Then he got up from the command chair and headed for the equipment bay, where tools were stored.
"I'm going to need some kind of weapon," he told himself. "Something to make the fight more even."
As they walked along the slightly sloping passageway that ran along Hunter's inner rim, Valker kept his pistol in his right hand, although he allowed his arm to relax naturally by his side. The kid and the 2 women were a few steps ahead of him, trudging reluctantly, grudgingly toward the ship's bridge. The cyborg paced along beside him, matching him stride for stride. "What's it like?" Valker asked, "being half-machine?" Dorn's half-metal face turned slowly toward him. "What's it like being entirely animal?" Valker laughed. "I mean, does your machine half feel pain? Is it stronger than normal human flesh?" Lifting his prosthetic arm slightly, Dorn said, "This hand could crush that pistol you're carrying." Instinctively, Valker twitched the gun away from the cyborg. "Not to worry," said Dorn quite solemnly. "I'm a priest, not a warrior." "You're not a fighter, then?" "Not normally." Dorn raised his left arm higher, then let it fall to his side. "Besides, this arm is prone to a mechanical version of arthritis, now and then." Valker asked, "You've always been a priest?" "No, not always. Once I was a soldier, a mercenary. I've seen battle, I've killed people. But not anymore." "Not unless I'm provoked," said Dorn, with a slight nod to the 2 women and the young man walking ahead of them.
Smelter Ship Hunter, Bridge. Her fingers moving swiftly on the electronic keyboard, Alberta opened the emergency airlock next to the bridge as she watched in the main screen the lone figure of a man jetting across the gap between Pleiades and Hunter. Glancing at the control board's telltale lights, she saw that he entered the airlock and cycled it. Through the open hatch of the bridge, she heard voices approaching. Dorn's deep, slow tones, and the lighter, faster patter of another man, Valker. As soon as she got up from the command chair, two women stepped through the hatch, followed by the same young man Dorn had brought aboard earlier, then Dorn himself, and the tall, broad-shouldered, smiling Valker, who was still chattering blithely away, and holding a pistol in his right hand. He had to duck slightly to get through the hatch. Then his eye caught Elverda's, and he beamed a bright smile at her. "Hello again, Miss Apacheta," he said. Elverda smiled back tentatively. "It's good to see you again," he said, putting more wattage into the smile. Drawing herself up to her full height, Elverda said, "We meet under unusual circumstances, Captain Valker." Valker raised the pistol and glanced at it, as if he hadn't realized it had been in his hand. "This? Well, this is business, dear lady. I'm afraid we're going to have to take your ship, and the one that's just made rendezvous with us." "Like hell you will!" A scruffy, stubby, dark-bearded man in a rumpled short-sleeved tunic and shorts stepped through the hatch, a laser spot welder in one hand. His bare arms and legs were knotted with muscle. His onyx eyes blazed fury. Valker whirled around at the sound of his voice, leveling the pistol in his hand. Dorn wrapped both arms around Valker's body, and young Theo punched the scavenger solidly in the jaw. Valker's legs buckled. His head lolled back on his shoulders.
"Victor!"
The older woman rushed into the arms of the fiercely bearded man. The younger followed her by a half-step. They both broke into sobs. Dorn let Valker's unconscious body slip to the deck. Theo bent down and took the pistol from his hand. Dorn slipped the belt of mini-grenades off his shoulder, stared at them for a long, wordless moment, then, with a growl, flung them across the bridge. It took a few minutes, but Elverda got it sorted out, despite the blubbering. Even young Theo Zacharias, who turned out to be the bearded man's son, had tears in his eyes.
"This is a hell of a family reunion," said Victor Zacharias, his arms around his wife and daughter, a happy grin on his face. Dorn brought them all back to reality. "There are 9 other scavengers, 6 aboard this vessel and 3 on Syracuse."
"Hunting for Mom and Angie," Theo said grimly. Victor's dark eyes flashed.
"They didn't."
"Angie's fine," Pauline said immediately. "They didn't touch her." Elverda stared at the woman, then turned to the main screen above the control panel and pointed.
"Look,
4 men are crossing over to your ship, Pleiades."
"It'll take them a little while to realize I'm not a boarder," said Victor.
"Then what?" Theo asked.
"How many are still on this ship?" Victor asked.
Elverda worked the electronic keyboard. The main screen broke into a dozen smaller views, each showing a section of Hunter's interior. Only 2 scavengers were visible, both by the main airlock.
"We've got to get to them before the others come back," Theo said.
Victor stepped closer to the multi-eyed screen.
"They're both armed."
Valker groaned and pushed himself up to a sitting position. He looked up at Theo, rubbing his jaw.
"Nice punch, kid. Try it again sometime when my arms are free."
Theo started toward him, but Dorn blocked him with his prosthetic arm.
"Perhaps we won't have to fight the others," pointing to Valker. "We have a hostage here."
Valker laughed bitterly.
"Some hostage. You think those cockroaches would give up taking 2 whole ships just for me? We better get those 2 before the others come back."
Victor said.